The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good afternoon, Bill Bunkley here with the Monday edition of the Bill Bunkley Show. We've got a lot on tap today, but before we get to our program, breaking news out of Midtown Manhattan in New York. We have had a very tragic helicopter accident in the heart of Midtown, and right now it looks like that we have a helicopter that had to make an emergency landing on top of one of the skyscrapers in the Big Apple. What we know right now is that the helicopter was able to land on top of the roof. However, the pilot has died in the accident. There was a fire on top of the roof. And for the latest details, there was a press conference moments ago, just prior to us coming on the air, and it featured the mayor of New York as well as the police and fire commissioners. Let's go ahead and go to that press conference to hear from them first, then we'll take up more of a discussion after that.
There is no indication at this time that this was an act of terror, and there is no ongoing threat to New York City based on all the information we have right now. I've checked in with the fire department, police department, and buildings department. There is no danger of any kind to New Yorkers at this point. And what I'm going to tell you and what my colleagues are going to tell you is all preliminary information. I'm going to emphasize to everyone a full investigation is going on, but we have only preliminary information at this point in time. But what we do know is that one person died in this helicopter crash. That person is presumed to be the pilot, but we are still waiting for absolute confirmation of that fact. There does not appear to have been any passenger in the helicopter, but again, we're waiting for absolute confirmation of that fact. We do not know the cause of this incident. I'm sure you're going to all want to ask that. We do not know the cause, but again, we have no indication that there was any terror nexus here. There were no other injuries that we know of at this point in time to anyone in the building or on the ground. And I want to just say, thank God for that. This could have been a much worse incident. And thank God no other people were injured in this absolutely shocking, stunning incident. I want to lastly say that the first responders performed an extraordinary effort here. I want to thank the fire department, police department, everyone, all the buildings department, all the agencies that responded here, OEM, everybody. This was a very challenging situation. As you're going to hear from the commissioner, a fire on the roof that had to be dealt with immediately. FDNY did an exceptional job in addressing the situation and ensuring that everyone would be safe. With that, I want to turn to our fire commissioner, Dan Nigro.
Yes, at 1:43 this afternoon, we received a call through 911 that this helicopter had crashed on the roof of this building. Our units, local units, responded in a little over 4 minutes. Members of the fire department, members of the police department made their way to the roof. We were able to put water on the fire quite quickly. Unfortunately, we did find a victim with the helicopter who, as the mayor stated, we presume was the pilot. That is the only victim of this crash. The fire has been extinguished. There was some amount of fuel leaked, which we've mitigated. And right now, the building is safe. We haven't reoccupied it. The building management had begun a complete evacuation of the building. And that was ongoing as we arrived. And members of the fire department, the police department, will remain on scene and await the arrival of NTSB and other agencies.
Police Commissioner Jimmy O'Neill.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So at 1:43 this afternoon, the first 911 calls came in reporting a crash, a fire atop 787 7th Avenue, which is right across the street. That's a 54-story office building. Emergency personnel responded, as Dan Nigro said, very quickly, and FDNY personnel put out the fire. At this point, we have one confirmed fatality, and an individual, as Dan said, is believed to be the pilot of a privately owned helicopter. What we know is that approximately 1:32 this afternoon, the helicopter took off from the 34th Street heliport, and about 11 minutes later, crashed on the roof across the street from where we are now. Right now, our Detective Bureau, our Intelligence Bureau, the FBI, are working with the FAA and the NTSB to gather additional info on the pilot. We believe we tentatively identified the aircraft, the flight path, and its owner. Don't have too much more. As we said, that's a preliminary, and at this point, we'll take some questions.
We'll take a few questions.
Josh, hold on. Josh.
Commissioner, when you say it's a privately owned helicopter, do you need it? Helicopter or is it some other function it serves in private?
Right. Tentatively, we have it as executive travel. All right.
Yes. Do you know where it was headed at all?
No, we don't. We think it was going back to its home airport in Linden, New Jersey, but we're not sure. Again, it's preliminary.
Commissioner, why was that helicopter in the air in weather like this?
Not sure. That's part of the investigation.
Was this the pilot? Was he the owner-operator of the helicopter?
No, he doesn't appear to be the owner. We have him preliminarily identified, but it's not confirmed yet. And, of course, we are looking out for his family, too.
Were there any distress calls or anything before the night?
That's part of the investigation to see if there was any contact made with air traffic control.
Anymore?
Hold on, hold on. Right back there. Yeah, there's a TFR there. That's a temporary flight restriction, and we're checking into that now, too.
And to be clear, just to finish this, that to go into that area, a helicopter would need the approval of LaGuardia Tower, and we need to find out if that happened or not here. We do not know at this point.
Did any debris fall from the roof that hit the parapets,
sidewalk, and
Dan, I don't know if you have that. So far, we've had some fall onto a setback on the building, but not to the street.
Hold on, one at a time. Hold on.
All right. Can you speak to the complexity of the response in the weather? Yeah.
I just want to start. The firefighters have to deal with a fire well above the 50th story, which is extraordinarily difficult under any circumstance and in the middle of this weather. So FDNY did an extraordinary job today. Dan?
I think quickly getting up there, using the building elevators, pumping water over 700 feet requires a special hose, special pumpers, which we have available. They were put to good use today. And the members got those lines as quickly as possible up to that roof and put this fire out, which was a great accomplishment by the members. And it,
Commissioner, was there any radio contact between the helicopter?
Hold on, hold on.
Thank you very much. Okay. Uber
offering helicopter service? I got to have to say that again.
Is this actually going to impact the decision by Uber?
We don't know that, Henry. We don't know. That's what we're trying to confirm, if they had any contact with LaGuardia Tower or any other entity.
All right. As we get updates, we'll make them available. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Bill Bunkley here. That is the latest from the Big Apple, New York City's finest. It appears that they have just done a magnificent job upon receiving the first reports that a helicopter had to make an emergency landing on top of one of the high-rises in Midtown Manhattan. A little bit of background of what we're dealing with here. First of all, the helicopter itself was an executive-style helicopter that could carry up to 7 or 8 people. At first, it was reported it was heading to the Statue of Liberty, but since the pilot was the only person on board, and we had the weather had really deteriorated about the time of the accident, visibility could have been down to a half a mile. Rain was moving through the area as well. It's been a very damp day there in New York City. Now, where the helicopter actually crash-landed on the building, that's not a regular path or a regular area that helicopters are supposed to be in. We're going to have to await the FAA, more particularly, whether he was or was not, what was or was not in control, in contact with air traffic control over at LaGuardia. LaGuardia would be the ownership of that airspace, and if he was traveling through there, he would have had to have permission from the tower at LaGuardia. And as you heard, rather than speculation that he was going to the Statue of Liberty, which actually hitting that building on 34th Street would have been going in almost the opposite direction. So probably the best news is what you heard with the press conference. He was returning to his home base in New Jersey. A couple of things about New York. Prior to 9/11, and you remember how 9/11 has changed everything, well, one of the things that changed was that there are several heliports on top of several buildings there in Manhattan. Up until 9/11, it was a pretty regular fare that if you were a high-ranking executive and you were utilizing helicopter service from any of the major airports to get back to Manhattan, you basically were flown in that private helicopter back to your building if you had a helipad, and therefore you were able to fly over all of the traffic. Well, now they have a couple, I believe, heliports that are commercial heliports there in the city that you can still fly in. It's a commercial deal. It's not a private helicopter, and they will shuttle you back over to New York City. The thing I want to tell you also is that preliminary indications are that this helicopter pilot, who we deemed to be very, very experienced, because this was a high-end helicopter, and as was reported earlier in the media, that you certainly wasn't a person that was just acquiring your helicopter's license and then you were flying this helicopter and flying people around. This was projected to be a very experienced pilot, and the fact that he was able to maneuver, we don't know whether the engines were out, we don't know if he was on what's known as auto rotation, which means the air passing through the rotors, it still will have you come into a hard landing, which is one that can crush the equipment. And that we don't know. But we do know that had he crash landed on the street or the streets adjacent to where he actually landed on the building, who knows the carnage, who knows how many people would have been injured. The streets of Manhattan are filled with pedestrians at all times, and so the fact that he was able to put it down on top of that building, just as the situation in L.A. was years ago, a similar situation that there was two pilots on that helicopter, and they were deemed to be heroes. So we're going to continue to follow this story. Also, the fact that this helicopter was equipped with flotational devices, so it was just blocks away from the Hudson River. It could have gone to the Hudson River, deployed the flotation devices, and landed in the river. That didn't happen. So at least very preliminarily, we are thinking that something catastrophic happened and he had limited opportunities to react. Well, that is the story from New York City. Not terrorism, and could have been a whole lot worse. And we thank the Lord for that. And so we'll continue to monitor that as we go into the evening. Coming up next, Democrats met in Orlando this past weekend, and they are determined to have a recount in the 2020 election. That's right. I'm not talking about 2018. I'm talking about 2020. We'll have that story coming up. We'll also have a story about illegal aliens being ripped off by predators. And in the second hour, we'll be talking about the Southern Baptist Convention, David Platt, and we'll also have Pastor Anthony Thompson on his new book, Called to Forgive, The Charleston Church Shooting, A Victim's Husband in the Path to Healing and Peace. Phone lines are open. Don't go away.
This is Dan Tullis,
right,
and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr.
Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does SelectQuote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. Now, we'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a 40-year-old man on blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company.
His price? $21 a month.
Thanks, Joel. See how affordable term life insurance can be for you. Call 1-800-711-7857. That's 1-800-711-7857. Or go to SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
It's getting harder and harder to make sense out of today's headlines. To stay on top of breaking world and national news with a Christian worldview and a faith-based perspective on what it means, turn to ChristianHeadlines.com. Log on to ChristianHeadlines.com for the very latest news, and then sign up for our free daily newsletter to stay one step ahead of what's happening. Get out of the mainstream media rut with top news and positive headlines every day with ChristianHeadlines.com.
Bible Line with Pastor Ralph Yankee Arnold.
In the book of 1 Peter in chapter 4, it says that we have a place reserved for us in heaven that fadeth not away. Eternal in the heavens. We got a place. So I already know I'm going to heaven. But one of the greatest things you can do is that if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, let your loved ones know it.
Bible Line, weekday mornings at 10 on Faith Talk 570 WTBN, online at letstalkfaith.com.
Welcome back, Bill Bunkley here, and let me formally welcome you to our show. Had some important breaking news out of New York City on that helicopter crash. And by the way, it was the AXA, A-X-A building in Midtown Manhattan. For those of you who might have been wondering exactly which building that is, because you have friends or colleagues that work in that area, but that is the building that the issue took place. Now, our phone lines are open today, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Well, the Democrats had a planning session in Orlando, Florida. I'm talking about Florida Democrats. And they had a chance to do a few things. One of the things that they did, they had a chance to get a report on what happened in 2018. Why they got beat, and I can tell you that that particular topic was somewhat controversial because they thought the report was extremely lacking in trying to determine how and where they lost to the president, and that is an analysis county by county, precinct by precinct, and in some cases maybe even neighborhood by neighborhood. And so it appears that there's still work that they have to do to figure out what happened to them in 2018. And there's another report that they do have a plan to beat President Trump in the 2020 election. And they were here to see that plan. They also claim that they need to have 500,000 more votes in 2020 in order to beat the Republicans. Now, remember that former gubernatorial candidate, now under an FBI investigation, Andrew Gillum, also being investigated for potential corruption that was occurring around the city of Tallahassee operations while he was the most recent mayor before running for the governorship. But and, you know, he has the effort to sign up, I forget the amount, but a certain amount of new registrations. And some of those are intended to be the some of the folks that are now felons who, by the constitutional amendment, at least at this point, if they have paid their debt to society, including court costs, restitution, anything post-conviction, They're going to try and make sure that they not only register them, but hopefully court them into their party. Now, what they're talking about is that they need to have some more folks to register. And how this goes is they're trying to run some numbers on this preliminary situation, in as much as they told those that are gathered, the experts, Mike Komen with the Democratic Party, was doing a briefing for the Florida Democrats, and that they need 5.5 more registered voters by November of 2020. Or, excuse me, a total of 5.5 million voters. And that's because the Republicans have about 4.7 million Republicans, and the no party affiliation, independents, et cetera, there are 3.6 million Floridians who are filed under that designation. And the reason why they're looking at 5.5 when Republicans only have 4.7 is that, believe it or not, even with all of the polls, souls to the polls, you know, where they will bus people from churches after Sunday service directly to the early voting, that the Democrats' leadership is telling their people that the Republicans do a much better job on getting out the vote than they do. But here's the one that is really controversial. According to Brandon Peters, he told this group, and by the way, it was the name of this meeting was Leadership Blue 2019, and they were at Walt Disney World. He is the gentleman who was hired a month ago by the state party, and he is in charge of rounding up volunteers in all 67 counties. This is his sole job now, rounding up volunteers in each county, including lawyers, and going to teach them how to monitor all of the county canvassing boards for recount problems. And he opened up his presentation by saying this: there will be a presidential recount coming in 2020. Not 2018, referring back to all of what we've been through, but he is guaranteeing a recount in 2020. Why? Because they are, he's the expert, and they are going to exploit every possible loophole. That no matter what happens, his job is to trigger not only the monitoring, but his job is to trigger a recount. And I want to tell you that there's a lot of games that can be played in these recounts. And so for those of you who are interested in fair elections, I wanted to mention this to you this afternoon. And, of course, he hopes to have, are you ready for this, 15,000 lawyers, including volunteers. And his quote yesterday was to the Democrats, if you're one of these lawyers or volunteers, if you see something, say something. Once we are aware of the problem, we will do something about it. I don't know about you, but I find this very, very interesting that once again, we're going to have, we're going to have another 2000 election. And I was involved with the Chads and the recount on that. And I, full disclosure, on behalf of the Republican Party of Hillsborough County. And then, again, 2018, where we looked at the late reporting of both Broward and Palm Beach County, who have prided themselves for many, many years of never having all their votes in to the very end, which made people very skeptical. And we later were to learn how loose that office was run, how ballots that were mailed in ahead of time were sitting in boxes at the Postal Service, at the Miami International Airport, and all sorts of inconsistencies and discrepancies. So I want to put this on your radar. And we'll also, if you have some thoughts about this, particularly those of you who are conservatives, our phone line is open at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Our phone lines will be open. So when we come back, we'll talk about that if we have some callers. And if not, I'm going to talk about how the illegal aliens, also referred to by those on the left as illegal immigrants, how they are being taken advantage of by predators. And how awful it is that these people are so enticed to walk for miles and miles and get through and then get into the underground, you know, society of America. And while they're there, as they're running scared, then they're getting picked off by predators. We'll have one of those stories next on the Bill Bunkley Show.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The New York City Fire Department says the pilot of a helicopter that crashed on a Manhattan skyscraper rooftop was killed. It does not appear anyone else was on board. The crash happened on the roof of the AXA Equitable Building. Officials say there are no indications of terrorism. Authorities have identified 29-year-old Kirsten Simone Smith as the woman who was killed after a crane fell on a Dallas apartment building amid severe thunderstorms on Sunday. Five others were injured. A spokesman for David Ortiz says the former Boston Red Sox slugger is in stable condition in intensive care as he recovers from a shooting at a bar in his native Dominican Republic. Ortiz will be flown to Boston once his condition improves. Raytheon and United Technologies, they're merging in a deal that will create one of the world's largest defense companies. This is SRN News.
Writing a Christian book, you're doing an amazing thing, getting it all down on paper. But once you've got the manuscript, then what? Well, you can spend a year or more trying to find a publisher, or you can cut right to the chase. Make your book real with Zulon Press. Finding a publisher is time-consuming and uncertain. With Zulon Press, things are quick and definite. They specialize in one thing, helping Christian authors put their books in print. Zulon Press will publish your book. Zulon Press gets it into bookstores. Your book is on Amazon. Work with Zulon Press, and there's no question, you are a published author. If you're writing a Christian book, get your free publishing guide from Zulon Press. Just log on to ChristianPublishing.com. That's ChristianPublishing.com. Zulon Press, book publishing by Christians for Christians. Get your free publishing guide at ChristianPublishing.com. Zulon Press is a division of Salem Communications, the same people who bring you this nifty radio station.
Sometimes it may feel like the troubles of the world are pulling us down. When that happens, we should pick ourselves back up with the power of God's love. Godvine.com makes it easy to brighten even the darkest day with uplifting and inspiring videos and stories chosen especially for you to lift you up and strengthen you in your walk with Jesus. From powerful stories of healing, miracles, and angels to heartwarming videos of love, surprises, and joy to cute and funny videos that'll have you laughing out loud. Godvine has just what you need. For the best uplifting videos filled with joy, hope, and love to brighten your day, join millions of Christians from around the world who watch and share Godvine videos each day. For a happier day right away, visit us at Godvine.com. Godvine.com. That's Godvine.com.
Did you know the human body does not make its own vitamin C? Taking vitamin C is one of the best things you can do for your health, and Aqua Powders is the best way to get vitamin C. Aqua Powders vitamin C is delicious when added to water and provides you with 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C to boost your immune system and increase your energy. Transform your water into wellness with Aqua Powders vitamin C, available at Amazon. That's Aqua Powders with a Z, available at Amazon.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back. Bill Bunkley. The phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Remind you, coming up in the second hour, I am just anticipating my interview with author and pastor Anthony B. Thompson. His book is called To Forgive. The Charleston Church Shooting, A Victim's Husband and the Path to Healing and Peace. You might remember that it was June the 17th, 2015. I'm not going to repeat the person's name who walked in and sat down in a Bible study on a Wednesday night. After participating in the Bible study for an hour or so, it wrapped up. He reached into his bag, pulled out a gun, and shot those he was studying the Bible with. One of those was Anthony B. Thompson's wife, the pastor's wife, and you may have heard of his story. He's got his brand new book out, and we're going to talk with him today because he has not only forgiven the shooter, but through his leadership there in Charleston, you did not have riots, you did not have the unrest, and I attribute it 100% to him. And we'll talk about the dynamics of that coming up in the second hour. Also, David Platt, a pastor up in D.C., a Southern Baptist pastor. He was the pastor that was preaching his Sunday service a week ago yesterday. Got toward the end of the service and stepped off to the side and was told by one of his staff members that they had received a call from the President of the United States. Apparently the President had just wrapped up his game of golf, early round of golf. He was coming to this pastor's church and wanted to know if the church would pray for him. The pastor said, yes, come on. Well, David Platt had a chance to pray for him. And in fact, we're going to have the audio of that prayer. But ever since he prayed for the president, there has been a firestorm on social media. So much so that David spoke this morning in Birmingham, Alabama, at the pastor's conference, the annual pastor's conference for the annual Southern Baptist Convention meeting. And he shared that he's had to have increased security for the past week. Well, I'm going to drill right down right away at the beginning of 5 o'clock hour, and we're going to let you not only hear what he said, but from a biblical worldview and from the Bible itself, we're going to tell you why, and even in David's own words, as he began to pray for the president, why there is no question in my mind that David Platt did exactly the right thing. But we have those who are detractors on that issue, so we'll talk about that coming up in the second hour, and you can take part in that as well. Well, if I were to ask you what you thought about illegal aliens here in the country, still coming across the border, some of you may correct me right away and say, no, no, I'd rather you call them illegal immigrants. Who or whatever, these are people who have been preyed upon as pawns. And first of all, you've heard my position on this big national debate. First of all, let me just restate it very quickly. I believe it's the federal government and its responsibility to secure our borders. If it's with a wall in some places on the northern and southern border, then build a wall. If it is done by electronic surveillance because of mountainous terrain that is hard to really navigate and you don't have to build a wall, don't build a wall. But I'm all for keeping undocumented illegal individuals out of this country. They must come in with applications, clearances, background checks, criminal checks. We need immigrants to this country. All the way from picking our fruit, vegetables, and oranges, all the way up those with advanced degrees. We need people here. Why? Unfortunately, you look at, in my opinion, just look at the number of abortions alone, of the number of Americans who are not with us today because they've been aborted. And so we need workers because the demographics has gone in the wrong direction. On the other hand, once an illegal person is in the United States by whatever means, the church has a different responsibility. The church doesn't have borders. The Christian church doesn't have borders. They are to care for visitors, widows, and orphans. And so that's why you hear my call that, yes, we need to stop the inflow. But the ones that are, but the people that are here and the ones that are going to be coming in, the churches need to care and step up for them while their fate is decided. And so with that, I don't want to be misunderstood, but you have these folks who were willing to, first of all, they're sold a bill of goods in Honduras or Guatemala. Now, right now, what they've been told, well, they're really experiencing the truth. If you want to spend weeks and weeks walking, hitchhiking on, you know, fuel trucks, semi-trucks, and make it to the southern border, if you can make it in with your group and go find yourself a border patrol officer, they're gonna round you up, take you in, and because they're overcrowded, you're going to be released eventually, and in a matter of days or weeks. So we have some, who knows if it's mafia types, gang types, or whatever, but we know we have some kingpins in Southern California who are very actively recruiting and spending the propaganda in Honduras and Guatemala to walk to America. You'll get in, you'll be released, and then you go underground, and you'll be able to live in America. Well, these folks are victims. And quite frankly, I'm going to be real frank with you. Before this became controversial, Florida has relied on either temporary work permits and or illegals to pick our agricultural products for decades and decades. And they've worked for nothing. If you drive around the Plant City area, in the rural areas, you'll see the fields, you'll see the cluster of manufactured homes under a few trees, and that's where some of their migrants are who pick the fruit are living. And so these people oftentimes are exploited, and they're the victims. And there's predators out there waiting to take advantage of them. And as a Christian myself, I have compassion on these people. Again, I'm clear that we need not let people in past our borders except through regular legal immigration. But once they're here, they need to be cared for, and then we need to figure out quickly what this country is going to do as official policy. But headlines in today's Tampa Bay Times Above the Fold read, "Preying on Their Hopes." The byline was, "Undocumented immigrants," again, this is the Times, instead of saying illegal aliens, "undocumented immigrants say they paid a man thinking he was a lawyer who could fix their status in America." Kavitha Sarana is reporting for the Tampa Bay Times. I want to give credit because I'm going to be lifting some quotes of her fine work in this article. Apparently, this happened in Plant City. These folks who were working in the fields wanted to become Americans. And they wanted to do the paperwork in order to try and make that happen. There was a predator, an alleged predator, an alleged crook by the name of Elvis Harold Reyes. He gave them false hope. He told them he could help them. Now keep in mind, with a lot of these people, it's an underground community. They don't like law enforcement. They don't like any talk to anybody. They don't report crimes, because if they're here illegally, they don't want to get involved in within the system. So these were Mexican laborers in Plant City, and they thought he was a lawyer. Now, whether he told them he was a lawyer or not, I don't know, but that was their impression. And the question is, did he or did he not give them that impression? Because he told them he could fix their immigration status for a fee. And if somebody told you that, what would you think? We must be a lawyer. And these are not the highest educated people, and they're just ready to be scammed. Things didn't work out. Mr. Reyes quit answering his phone. Some of them he threatened. Then rumors began to fly within the Mexican community there in Plant City that those people who had trusted and gone to Mr. Reyes, they were now receiving deportation orders. Jesus Garcia Mendez is a 36-year-old father of six. He said, and I quote, "I feel afraid because I don't know what is going to happen with me and my kids." Mr. Reyes helped him submit an application last year, he said. Now the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, among others, are looking into this, which hasn't been a practice that has been happening much across the state. In the last 7 days, 100 people have come forward talking about this predator. Apparently, these predators, this fraud is rampant among these invisible communities. And a lot of these predators, because law enforcement hasn't really followed up on these cases across the state, apparently, they just operate out in the open, at least for 10 years or so, and there are hundreds or thousands of victims. Now, when we come back, I'll tell you a little bit about how this happens, but I want to implore you. I'm very conservative. I'm a social conservative. Also a Christ follower with a Christian worldview. Nothing will keep me from insisting that we tighten up our borders and that we come up with, I happen to prefer, a merit-based system. Because we certainly need certain employers in the fruit fields, in the hotel services businesses, especially in Orlando, South Florida, and here on the coast, as well as skilled immigrants. But my goodness, in the world that we live in, we need to know who's coming in. And we're hearing about Africans, we're hearing about ISIS members mingling in. Who knows who's come across our southern border already? Who knows who's posed as a father who's not a father of the children he's traveling with? More on how the scam works in a moment. I'm Bill Bunkley, 877-943-9673. Welcome your calls.
This is Uncommon Moments. Here's former Super Bowl winning NFL coach Tony Dungy and his wife Lauren sharing from their book Uncommon Marriage.
Tony invited the coaches to our house shortly after he had been fired from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He talked with them about what was going on and what might be in store for them. Then he read Psalm 37, which talks about how God protects and cares for his children in times of trouble.
Verse 23 of that chapter says, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall. For the Lord upholds him with his hand." Even though this was a stumble, being fired from Tampa Bay, I told the coaches that Lauren and I trusted in God and we were going to wait patiently on him to direct us.
Tony and Lauren Dungy, authors of Uncommon Marriage. Discover more at CoachDungy.com.
Looking
Looking for more than just a job? Searching for a career path with a higher calling? With a company who wants you for your life skills as well as your job skills? Find a career you can believe in. Find your true calling at ChristianJobs.com. ChristianJobs.com is the largest Christian employment website with thousands of job listings in the Christian sector. Get connected with outstanding employers that share your values and understand there's more to you than what's in your resume.
I've always wanted to focus my energies in the Christian community because, to me, having a career means more than just a paycheck. ChristianJobs.com allowed me to apply all my skills in a meaningful way.
Find your true dream job today at ChristianJobs.com.
I found not only my dream job, but my calling at ChristianJobs.com.
Once you see the long list of quality job opportunities available, you'll never settle for just a job again. Visit ChristianJobs.com, ChristianJobs.com.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-704-1662. 800-704-1662. 800-704-1662. That's 800-704-1662.
In the last 7 years, Auto Glass America has paid out over $2 million buying back damaged windshields. Some people think this is too good to be true, but just ask any of Auto Glass America's over 70,000 customers. If your windshield is chipped or cracked, call us. We'll buy it back. No gimmicks, no hassle, no fuss, no muss. Just cash in your pocket with a brand new windshield. Auto Glass America at 813-96-GLASS. If it's chipped or cracked, we buy it back. Period.
Hi, I'm Andrew Farley, author of Twisted Scripture, Untangling 45 Lies Christians Have Been Told. I'll be sending one lucky winner and a companion to Dallas, Texas for the Twisted Scripture Conference this November. Enter on this station's website and download my free guide to your identity in Christ. Hope to see you in Dallas.
Enter the Twisted Scripture Getaway Giveaway today at letstalkfaith.com. Letstalkfaith.com.
Hey, we're back, and we're talking about illegal aliens being in the crosshairs of predators and those that would prey on them. Lead story of Tampa Bay Times this afternoon. And these scams and what's happening, and there, this is a whole different world than most of you can even relate to. Because it's not a world, it's a world that's right here. It's a subculture right here in our area. But quite frankly, unless you are a church that is doing your part to help mankind, help a foreigner, a traveler, as is discussed very thoroughly in Scripture about hospitality, you'll have an idea of what's going on. But the sad part about all of this is these people have been preyed upon from the start. Some of them gather a great amount of money that they, you know, whatever money they can get together would not be a large amount for us, but then they pay people to help them, and then they rip them off, or they rob them, or they leave them out in the desert. I mean, all sorts of things have been happening. While we have, I believe, those on the left in Congress, all this is a political football. But the scam, here's how it works. Let's say a person has a Guatemalan dialect, or at least Spanish close to that, and they begin talking to one of these communities that has some Guatemalans or wherever, Mexicans or whatnot. And then they begin to talk to them about the fact that they have a quick solution to the whole immigration question in exchange for a large fee. So these folks, and we're talking about what's happening in Plant City, a lot of these folks are out in the sun. Imagine that sun in May doing a backbreaking work so that you and I eat cheap, you know, tomatoes, vegetables. How about the strawberries? Love those strawberries from Plant City during the Strawberry Festival. But these are the folks that are out there working. And for those who do not commit criminal acts, they're helping our economy, no doubt. Those are criminal acts. They need to be deported. There's no doubt about that. But then they pay the large fee to this person who they think is a lawyer. Then the person submits documents to the government on behalf of their quote-unquote clients. Often the paperwork is an asylum claim. But yet this so-called lawyer or non-lawyer doesn't tell these people what the risks are if they're going to turn in the paperwork. And so, to those who have spent the money, sometimes all of the family money, they think it's working. And then they might find that they might not qualify for an asylum, or at least that's what they're told. Then they're told that they might get a work permit and a temporary driver's license while the government evaluates the claim. And by the way, that's not a month or two. It could take years. The unwilling illegals, the clients, think this means that, oh, now they have legal papers, unaware that they have exposed themselves to the government with a false or weak claim and are living on borrowed time. By the time a deportation order arrives, the client's problems are often compounded by having signed a fraudulent asylum claim. They've committed fraud. That means they can never receive any kind of immigration relief. What about the lawyer? Usually long gone with the client's money. You know, by the way, once they abscond with the money and the clients start calling, either they don't get a return phone call or they get told, you know, if you know what's good for you, walk away. And that is an open threat. So I know that you don't hear these type of stories much, certainly on the conservative side of the aisle, but I tell you what, when we are committed to doing the right thing, it's committed to doing the right thing all around. And that means that we need to resolve whatever is going to be on this immigration issue. I believe that we need to secure the borders. People who, it's up to our elected leaders whether they're going to go for any of this amnesty or not. There was a time where the folks had been here, not many people were crossing, and there was talk about 10 to 12 million might get amnesty. Now it's just out of control. And every day that politics prevails and we don't take care of this issue, it's even a greater problem because the folks are here, they're going to our clinics, and they are receiving health care. Even California, who is like bankrupt times four or five times, they're talking about making it law, free health care for illegals. Something has to give, and remember, socialism fails when you run out of other people's money. Well, I'll be over on 570 and 910. Appreciate you all being with us from our answer stations and at the biz. We'll talk about the Southern Baptist Convention annual meeting, particularly David Platt in hosting a prayer for the president, and we'll have a chance to talk about the Charleston church shooting with Pastor Anthony B. Thompson. That's in the second hour. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Do you like winning prizes? How about getting sneak peek opportunities and offers before anyone else? Join the Faith Talk Fan Club today at letstalkfaith.com and gain access to incredible contest opportunities, free movie preview events, discounts, and more. If you're passionate about Faith Talk and want to be rewarded just for being a part of the Faith Talk community, sign up for the Faith Talk Fan Club today. Join the Faith Talk Fan Club by clicking the Fan Club tab at letstalkfaith.com.
Who do you work for?
Weekday afternoons at 3. Join Jim and Martha Brangenberg for I Work For Him.
Who do you really work for? Is it your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord? This isn't a trick question. There is a right answer. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him? I am. In fact, I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
I work for
no other reports of injuries. It was not immediately clear what caused the crash or why the helicopter was flying in tightly controlled airspace in Midtown Manhattan. The head of the House Judiciary Committee says he's struck a deal with the Justice Department for some of the underlying evidence from the Mueller report on obstruction of justice.
Jerry Nadler says the Justice Department's agreed to submit key underlying evidence. Because of that, Nadler says he'll hold the criminal contempt process in abeyance for now while they pursue more documents. However, it appears the House still plans to vote on a civil contempt citation for Attorney General William Barr and former White House counsel Don McGahn. That vote would allow Nadler to ask a court to force Barr and McGahn to cooperate with the ongoing investigations.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. The House vote is set for tomorrow. Authorities have identified 29-year-old Kirsten Simone Smith as the woman who was killed when a crane fell on a Dallas apartment building amid severe thunderstorms. The Dallas County Medical Examiner's Office says Smith was pronounced dead at a hospital Sunday after the crane smashed into a five-story building near downtown. The falling crane tore a large gash in the building and destroyed much of an adjacent parking garage. Good day on Wall Street as the Dow was up by 78 points. The Nasdaq rose 81. The S&P advanced 13. Crude oil down 73 cents to $53.26 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3366 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3366. Enjoy.
There's some positive news on hiring after Friday's lukewarm government report of just 75,000 jobs added in May.
The Labor Department says employers hired the most people on record in April, while the number of open jobs was largely unchanged. That's all evidence that the job market remains solid. Businesses filled just under 6 million jobs in April, 4.2% more than March, and the most since records began in December 2000. The report shows employers are confident enough about the economy to add staff, but there was one warning sign. The number of job openings has declined, which suggests demand for labor has softened. Shelley Antler, Washington.
Iran's President Hassan Rouhani met with Germany's top diplomat amid heightened tensions over the country's unraveling nuclear accord. Rouhani met with Foreign Minister Heiko Maas just after a joint press conference with Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Three of Russia's leading newspapers have come out in support of a reporter charged with drug offenses in a case that's caused a huge public outcry.
The detention of a prominent investigative journalist has sparked outrage in the Russian media. As an act of solidarity, three of the country's most respected daily papers ran almost identical front pages in support of Ivan Golunov. The reporter is currently under house arrest, having been charged with attempting to sell drugs, an accusation widely viewed as bogus. The three papers demanded an investigation into the actions of law enforcement officers and called on Russian police to abide by the law.
BBC correspondent Steve Rosenberg. American Airlines is now removing the Boeing 737 MAX from its schedule into early September, about 2 weeks longer than before. The plane has been grounded around the world since mid-March after two deadly crashes. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Christ demands first place. There's no room on the throne of your heart for two gods.
This is the Bill Bunkley Show on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN.
Our rights come from nature and God and not from government.
History will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening.
Phone lines are open in Hillsboro, 813-287-5700 or toll free 1-877-943-9673.
As for me and my house, we've already made a decision. We are going to serve the Lord. And that's a decision that every single person here tonight has to make. You either have to decide that you're going to serve the gods of materialism all around or the true and the living God.
And now, the president of the Florida Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission. Here's Bill Bunkley.
Good Monday afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of the Bill Bunkley Show here on Faith Talk 570 and 910 AM both. Well, the Southern Baptist Convention has convened on Birmingham, Alabama for their annual meeting. It's actually broken down into two components. There is a pastor's conference that precedes the actual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. And so we have been monitoring that last night and throughout the day today. We are in the midst of the pastor's conference. Traditionally, and also this year, the pastor's conference in the host city convenes 6 o'clock local time on Sunday. You have a Sunday night session. You have a Monday night, a Monday morning session, a Monday afternoon session, and then you have a Monday evening session. Now, tonight, I want to tell you, I'm really looking forward to the evening session because Pastor Brunson, you remember that pastor who was being held by the Turkish government and the Trump administration got involved and negotiated his release. He is going to be the guest speaker tonight. I think that's, well, they'll get underway about 7 o'clock, but they'll have some praise and worship time. But you can just Google 2019 Pastors Conference or SBC Convention Meeting. And it is live stream, so if you've got a pretty good, healthy internet connection with a fast speed that can accommodate videos, if you have an interest, you can tune in tonight. Well, so the pastor's conference will wrap up tonight, and then starting tomorrow morning will be the beginning of the Southern Baptist Convention. And they will meet today and I believe tomorrow afternoon if they've kept true to form to year after year. What we are particularly wanting to monitor is, of course, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention right now is J.D. Greer, Pastor Greer. And several months ago, the Houston Tribune or a Houston newspaper, I don't know if it's a Tribune or what, and by the way, they certainly are not a bastion of conservative news. They are quite liberal, and there has been some controversy as to what and how they reported the following. But there were reports of sexual abuse among Southern Baptist cooperating churches there in Houston. And, of course, as we have learned so much about the abuse that took place for so long in the Roman Catholic Church, we know the abuse that has taken place within the Boy Scouts of America. Certainly, anyone would be very naive to say, well, there's never been any abuse with Southern Baptist churches, Sunday school, all that kind of stuff. But the controversy is with the fact that the churches were not forthcoming, possibly sweeping some of these allegations under the carpet. So that sets the stage for one of the two major issues we're going to be seeing what the Southern Baptist Convention will decide in their deliberations. And that is there's a 52-page recommendation about what to do if a Southern Baptist church has abuse and they're covering it up and not being forthcoming, not taking care of the person abused. There are allegations that oftentimes the abuser, which could be a pastor, could be a lay person, that the Southern Baptist Convention cooperatively, when you look at who's been ministered to, that the abuser has found themselves more cared for than the abused. That's going to be a point of discussion. Remember that your local Southern Baptist church, if you're in a Southern Baptist church, you are autonomous. Nobody tells you what to do. Your own church bylaws tell you what to do. However, if you want to cooperate and formally associate yourself as a Florida Baptist church or a Southern Baptist church. Now, remember, a Florida Baptist church is also a Southern Baptist church. That means they're cooperating with the Florida Baptist Convention, and the Florida Baptist Convention cooperates with the Southern Baptist Convention. But it's all cooperation. That's why even the great work that we have done, and I'm a Southern Baptist, Florida Baptist, member of Idaho Baptist Church, full disclosure, that even when we talk about what Baptists are known for and their missions all around the world and missionary giving, what's it called? It's called the, quote, cooperative, unquote, effort. So we'll be dealing with that. And now, and also because we are meeting in the heart of the Old South, Birmingham, Alabama, there is going to be discussion and resolutions about full racial reconciliation. We know that's been the official policy, but we also know that the average Southern Baptist, Florida Baptist church is a church of 100 or 200 people, scores of those throughout the South, and that some of them have not maybe adopted the policies about racial openness, racial reconciliation, et cetera, et cetera. So those are the two main issues that I'll be not only watching, recording, and reporting back to you, but that's what we're going to be gleaming from this year's convention. Now, David Platt. David Platt used to be the head of our International Missions Board, and he was called, he finished his service there, and he was called to an awesome church in Washington, D.C. It's the McLean Baptist Church, and it's a church that, because of its proximity there in the Beltway area, it actually has about 100 nations represented in its congregation. So with David Platt coming from his expertise of the International Missions Board, involved with missions all across the globe, doesn't hesitate me one bit to see how God has called him to this particular congregation. So he's in D.C. So let me set this up for you. A church service is in progress. During the service, the pastor is called aside and informed that the President of the United States is on his way to their church that very moment. And the President of the United States has requested prayer from the church congregation. Now, let me ask you, How is the pastor to respond? Should he respond by saying, yes, tell them to come on and we will pray for him. We will pray for this man who has great authority over us in our country. Or is the president to say, please don't come. Because if we pray for you, we could be sending the wrong image. We could be sending the wrong message. And we would be offensive to maybe those here in our congregation who do not support you. Or maybe don't like you. Now remember this, and you're going to hear it in a moment. The president did not ask to speak, but he did ask to be prayed for. Now, what I will tell you, I'm going to play the entire prayer in just a moment so you can hear for yourself, because there's a lot of bogus stuff all over the social media about this controversy. And David Platt is right flat in the middle of it with the supporters and detractors. Because he did pray for the president. David Platt was the first speaker this morning in Birmingham, Alabama, to the pastor's conference. And he has been agonizing for a week. And in fact, he shared this morning that he's had to step up security because I guess death threats have come in. And he shared a letter that he drafted the night after the president was prayed for, that's a week ago Sunday, explaining exactly how it came down. It wasn't something pre-planned. The call came in while he was on the platform preaching. And if you saw the picture, you know the president came off the golf course. He didn't even look like the president. In fact, when I first saw the picture, I tossed it aside and saw something about the president being prayed for. I thought there was some other man standing. Then I found out it was the president because he had his hair combed straight back, had been wearing his golf hat, and he came in off, 9 or 18 rounds at the golf course very early. If we can ever get a copy of this morning's audio, it's probably about 20 minutes, but it would be well worth me playing that cut for you, because he really talked about the dilemma and the point of view from both sides, always saying, look, we have a controversy in my church. We have supporters and detractors for what I did. But he made it clear that all those people are lovers of Jesus and followers of Jesus. And that there are non-negotiables that both those for and against whether the president should be prayed for, they love Jesus. Well, I'm going to take a break. When I come back, and if you want to call or email a friend, if you've been dialoguing about this, I'm going to have the actual interaction between David Platt and the President of the United States. It's not very long as a prayer, but you'll hear David Platt praying and also praying for other government leaders. And by the way, phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. We'll take your calls after that. More of the Bill Bunkley Show with David Platt's prayer uninterrupted next.
Results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, payroll taxes, or have not filed your returns, the IRS will get you. They can take your property, take you to court, even put you in jail. One call to Wall & Associates and your tax problems are solved. Wall has saved clients over $150 million in the last 5 years. Our average client settles for about 10% of what is owed. With one call to Wall, you'll never need to talk to the IRS again.
We offer free face-to-face consultations in your local area. Remember, Wahl has a proven track record with a total client savings over $150 million. Call now for your free face-to-face consultation. 800-776-6094. 800-776-6094. 800-776-6094.
Imagine doing one thing that gives you an entirely different perspective about your place in the world. Think it would be worth it? Dennis Prager here inviting you to join me for a 10-day Stand with Israel tour, a tour through the land of Israel in December 2019. Come with me to get firsthand insight into Israel's fascinating past and promising future. Walk the ancient temple steps, sail on the Sea of Galilee, and so many more unforgettable moments. Return home inspired, renewed, and empowered. If you've ever dreamed of seeing Israel, this is your opportunity. With expert guides and important lectures at key sites, we'll be together in the comfort and safety of luxurious accommodations the whole time. Join me for a life-changing adventure to give you a renewed sense of purpose.
Join Dennis Prager on the Stand with Israel tour. Book today at 800-247-1899, 800-247-1899. Or click on the Stand with Israel banner at letstalkfaith.com.
Who do you work for?
Weekday afternoons at 3. Join Jim and Martha Brangenberg for I Work For Him.
Who do you really work for? Is it your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord? This isn't a trick question. There is a right answer. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him? I am. In fact, I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
I Work For Him. Weekdays at 3 p.m. on Faith Talk, AM 570, AM 910, and FM 102.1.
You're a do-it-yourselfer. You fix things around the house, take care of the yard, wash your car, and on top of it all, run your own business. But wow, when it comes to digital marketing and advertising, things aren't so do-it-yourself. You need results and just aren't getting them on your own. Salem Surround will get you results. We know digital marketing and how to deliver customers so you can run your business. Using every digital marketing tool possible is a necessity to compete in today's business world. But you have to know about all the options. Our team at Salem Surround has the expertise to manage all your digital marketing under one roof. Get started with a free evaluation of your digital presence and some great ideas to increase your online visibility and, most importantly, revenue. There really are no limitations on how and where you can reach customers with Salem Surround. Total market penetration for increased ROI. Learn more at surroundtampa.com. Surroundtampa.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Hey, we're back, and boy, the following prayer started a fire, but it wasn't necessarily a godly fire. I'm Bill Bunkley, back with the Bill Bunkley Show. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Should elected officials, including the President of the United States, should they be called up to a podium to stand with a pastor in a church, and should that pastor pray for them? Pray for their service. That should not be controversial, but indeed it has become controversial because David Platt of McLean Baptist Church there outside D.C. got a call from the president, wanted to stop by. He was on the platform preaching in the Sunday service a week from Sunday back. And he prayed for him, and then the controversy began. Well, I'm going to tell you, not only do I 100% support David Platt, I want to tell you that to me it would be shameful. And I don't care if it's Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Adam Schiff, Marco Rubio, Ron DeSantis. There's one thing, there's a big difference here. There's a difference if a political figure is brought to God's holy platform and speaks. It's another thing if they come to that platform and ask to be prayed for. David Platt did nothing wrong, and in fact, he was totally and completely scriptural. And so for those of you, I'm going to play the cut in just a moment. Let me just remind you that the Apostle Paul, in writing to his young apprentice Timothy, a letter, and this was in the first letter to Timothy. It's broken down to the second chapter. However, the original letter was just a letter. So I'm going to read this very, very slow and carefully. Because I want to ask you, are you a PC Christian or are you a Christian of the book? Are you a Christian based on biblical principles or on the current waves of political correctness? Here's what it says. 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verses 1 and 2. You might want to write it down and pray over it. Pray for your understanding and my understanding. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all, let me repeat, all people, comma, verse 2, for kings. And that, by the way, kings, political leaders, you know exactly what Paul is talking about. For kings and all who are in high positions. Let me think for a moment. Does the President of the United States have great authority over us, you and I? Is the President of the United States in a high position? Comma. That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. I want you to listen to David Pratt. President walked on the stage. He prayed for him. President did not speak. You have prolonged clapping in the end because the president was acknowledging the crowd. But I want to say, David Pratt, my friend, you prayed for the president completely in line with 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, and that includes the fact that you did it in a godly and dignified way. Period, end of story. Now, let's listen in, and you can judge for yourself if this prayer lined up with biblical authority.
Us to do what 1 Timothy chapter 2 says to do. Many of you may have seen that there was a call to particularly on this Sunday pray for our president. We don't want to do that just on this Sunday. We want to do that continually, day in and day out. So I want to ask us to bow our heads together now and pray for our president. Oh God, we praise you as the one universal King over all. You are our leader and our Lord, and we worship you. There is one God and one Savior, and it's you, and your name is Jesus, and we exalt you, Jesus. And we know we need your mercy. We need your grace. We need your help. We need your wisdom in our country. And so we stand right now on behalf of our president, and we pray for your grace and your mercy and your wisdom upon him. God, we pray that he would know how much you love him, so much that you sent Jesus to die for his sins, our sins. So we pray that he would look to you, that he would trust in you, that he would lean on you, that he would govern and make decisions in ways that are good for justice and good for righteousness and good for equity, every good path. Lord, we pray that you would give him all the grace he needs.
to govern in ways that we just saw in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that lead to peaceful and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. God, we pray for your blessing in that way upon his family. We pray that you would give them strength. We pray that you would give them clarity, wisdom. Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Please, oh God, give him wisdom and help him to lead our country alongside other leaders. We pray today for leaders in Congress. We pray for leaders in courts. We pray for leaders at national and state levels. Please, oh God, help us to look to you. Help us to trust in your word. Help us to seek your wisdom and live in ways that reflect your love and your grace, your righteousness and your justice. We pray for your blessings on our president toward that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And that was the source material. As the president was standing there and was waving to some folks at the end, and there's no doubt that that's a mixed congregation because of the political influence of it being there in the Beltway in D.C. But did you listen? I mean, I'm just astounded at the controversy. And see, this is the problem with social media. And I'm going to probably go off on a tangent here a little bit. But by the way, your opinion, we've got a few moments before we're going to take a break. And looking forward to talking to Pastor Anthony B. Thompson, the pastor of the church where the ambush took place back in 2015. His wife and others were murdered. His book is called Call to Forgive. As I think about David Platt, you heard it for yourself. This is one of the most humblest men that's known around Southern Baptist circles. You heard a prayer where, yes, he prayed for the president, but he made a gospel presentation. He represented the Lord right there to the president in his presence as he was praying for him. There was no doubt that David Platt's king is King Jesus. No doubt that we are looking for another kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. But the fact that he also mentioned 1 Timothy 2, and still, there would be an eruption in social media. Oh, David Platt prayed for the president. Now, I guess it would have been equally controversial if David Platt had prayed for Nancy Pelosi. But see, if you are a kingdom-oriented Christian, kingdom-oriented man or woman, who has dedicated themselves to understanding the truth, see, here's the old question about your truth and my truth and somebody else's truth that's all truth. That's a lie. Because people are putting things out as truth as to what happened in this prayer. David Platt did not pray for the president to be reelected. Didn't pray for wisdom out in planning the strategy of the campaign trail. Didn't pray for the president to win over people. No. He prayed the gospel message to the president and then prayed for the president to have wisdom. Somebody tell me that that prayer violated 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Phone lines are open. We'll just have a minute or two before we're going to break to bring in Pastor Thompson. 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. You know, some people would say, well, you know, you go out on a limb. No, no, you don't go out on a limb. When something is as clear as this, we have to proclaim the gospel and we have to proclaim biblical principles. Tomorrow, as I will share in the edition of Something to Think About, I'll be also writing about this. Because in the human world, you can look at this as PC or strategy. Either, well, if I pray for the president, it's going to look like I'm endorsing him. Well, you know what? If you didn't endorse him, then that is the truth. You didn't endorse him, and he didn't. Or, you know, a pastor may say, well, you know, if I bring him up here and pray for him, they think I'm, you know, endorsing him. Well, you're not. And then, you know, if you don't bring him up and pray for him, then you had a divine opportunity to pray for a leader. And if anything, David Platt's prayer should be printed and sent out across the nation to pastors who may not know, but that's how you pray for someone in authority. So I close with this. You want to find out what truth is? It ain't what Harry said or Susan said or even what Bill Bunkley said. Go to someone who can make the case and have scripture in hand. Very quickly, we'll go to a caller because we have to get to our very special guest. Who do we have, Mike? Todd in Tampa. Got about a minute and a half because we got to get a break in, but I want to give you a chance to share.
Well, Bill, I just wanted to congratulate, you know, the pastor. I want to congratulate Donald Trump, and I just want to praise the name of Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible, because it was a beautiful prayer. And Donald, when prayer is humbling yourself to the Lord and acknowledging the greatness of Jesus Christ and that he made all things possible, just you know, Donald winning this whole thing was something. But the prayer and just glorifying the name of Jesus Christ, okay? Let me say something. You could be rich, you could be poor, you could have everything in the world, but if you don't have Jesus, you've got nothing, okay? So I just want to lift up this pastor and all pastors and everyone praying for our president and our leaders and standing up for righteousness, you know, Bill. And we have to fight. It's a fight, you know. We had to fight in the temple, you know, and it's a fight. So we just have to keep on keeping on. And you know, the Democrats are coming at us with everything that they have in this election. So I just want to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, who makes a way where there seems to be no way, and took Donald Trump, a non-politician, to victory lane. And God bless him for trying to protect our borders and save our kids and the beautiful Kate Steinle. God bless you, Bill, and love you, man.
Take care, Todd. We appreciate your call. As we wrap up, David Platt, you know what he said today among all the pastors in Birmingham? He reminded them of another scripture. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. That is contrary to what we see on social media today. And I pray if some of you had half information and started going after David for pushing the president, number one, confess, repent, ask the Lord to forgive you. But think about in this day of instant social media, be quick to hear, understand, get all the facts, then speak. Coming up next, unbelievable forgiveness by Pastor Anthony B. Thompson. It was his church back in 2015, Wednesday night prayer service, where a young lad came in, sat with the prayer group, participated, then it was over, reached in his bag, pulled out a gun, cold murder, and the pastor's wife was one of those who's deceased. And he's chosen to forgive. His story next with his new book, Call to Forgive. I'll be right back.
W262 CP, Bayonet Point.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Authorities say the helicopter that struck a New York City skyscraper took off from a Manhattan helipad and was in the air for about 11 minutes before it crashed. Police Commissioner James O'Neill said Monday that the privately owned aircraft took off from a pad on the East River. He says it may have been headed to its home airport in Linden, New Jersey, before it struck the AXA Equitable building just before 1:45 p.m. The pilot was killed. A spokesman for David Ortiz says the former Boston Red Sox slugger is in stable condition and intensive care as he recovers from a shooting at a bar in a native Dominican Republic. Spokesman says doctors removed Ortiz's gallbladder and part of his intestine and that his liver was also damaged. He says Ortiz will be flown to Boston once his condition improves. The gunman has not been arrested. More details at srnnews.com.
This is a special alert for Americans who owe more than $10,000 in back taxes. Get ready for a toll-free hotline number. Call and get free information on how to take advantage of new initiatives that could significantly reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. Call Stop IRS Debt today at 800-893-8907. Learn how you can stop collection calls, IRS letters, bank levies, and wage garnishments all by using a proven A-plus BBB-rated tax system that negotiates with the IRS for you. If you haven't filed returns in years or you're already in a payment plan, you can still get tax relief. The government is ready to work out a generous program that can resolve your tax debt quickly. Be warned, this situation won't last forever and your tax debt will only get worse if you don't act now. Do not try to handle it yourself. Call Stop IRS Debt now for free information. 800-893-8907. That's 800-893-8907. 800-893-8907.
So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated.
The library.
On Jones' house. The bus stop.
And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Great. It sounds like we don't have a plan.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back. Bill Bunkley here. And, of course, that name is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, on this Monday afternoon. Well, I have been in anticipation ever since I received my review copy of this most incredible book. And it is a book called Call to Forgive, The Charleston Church Shooting, A Victim's Husband and the Path to Healing and Peace. And the author of the book is also the pastor. The senior pastor of Holy Trinity Reform Episcopal Church of Charleston, South Carolina. And I'm referring to the Reverend Anthony Thompson. Now, Reverend Thompson is a native of Charleston. And imagine growing up there. He served for 6 years in the United States Navy. He received his Bachelor of Arts degree in secondary education from Benedict College, and a Master's of Divinity degree from Cummins Theological Seminary of Somerville, South Carolina in 1995. And I want to tell you his incredible, incredible story. His wife, Myra, she passed away in the horrible shooting that occurred on the Wednesday night, June 17, 2015. They both have 3 children and 5 grandchildren. And since the murder of his wife, Reverend Thompson has spoken at numerous churches and organizations across the United States. And Pastor, Reverend, I just want to thank you so much for taking time for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Bill, for having me.
You are an incredible walking witness. In our year of 2019, you know, the Christian faith is all about confession, redemption, and forgiveness. And so oftentimes we use those rather loosely veteran Christians know how to wax eloquently, but few people are called to what you have been called to and the walk that you have walked. Tell us a little bit before we get into the process of you and God and the forgiving part of this story. What was happening the night of June 17, 2015? Because I know your wife was leading the Bible study. You were at a church conference. Remind us what happened that night.
Yes, on that night of June 17, 2015, yes, I was at my church because that's where Myra wanted me to be. I wanted to be at the Bible study. However, for some reason, she insisted I didn't come. So after getting home, believing that she was there before me, I received a phone call from one of the members at Emmanuel Church explaining to me that there was a shooting at the church. So I immediately dropped that phone and got in my car. And I probably got there in about 5 minutes. I think I was like one of the first persons on the scene because we don't live very far from Emmanuel Church. And after running around, getting different types of information, wrong information, I discovered that my wife was already dead. And once I found that out, I just fell down on the pavement of Calhoun Street, wallowing on the ground, just crying uncontrollably. For the first time in my life, I just lost control, and all I can think about was she hurt, was she still suffering, was she still alive, or just what? And I heard a voice. I heard somebody say, "Get up." And I thought maybe one of the responders, first responders, was talking to me. And heard a voice a second time saying, "Get up." And it was very harsh. Third time I knew who it was. I knew it was God. But it was so harsh. It wasn't like, "This is the Lord, fear not, here I am here." It was like, "Get up." And so I got up, and I really was not in the mood for that. I just let him know, "I don't want to hear what you have to say, you know, leave me alone." You know, it was bad timing. But it was very insistent that I remember what I preached to my congregation so many times about if you lose a loved one, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, and you love them more than you love God, then what's going to happen with your life? And so he reminded me of that. And first thing came to my mind is, needing to get to my congregation and let them know I'm all right so that they can be all right. But he went a little further, and he gave me scripture that talked about forgiveness. At the time, I'm not sure exactly where he was going with this, you know, but it was St. Luke 17 chapter, letting you know that people will do things in your life that will cause you to stumble. And then it goes on to say, watch yourselves, and forgive. And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not thinking about forgiving anybody because I don't even know who commit the crime. I don't know who killed my wife. To make a long story short, I preached that sermon that he wanted me to preach that Sunday. God has a plan and God is in control. But that was prior to the bond hearing. Bond hearing was in 48 hours.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't want to go to the bond hearing. You know, my daughter insisted that I go, so I explained to my daughter, my son, if we go, we're going to keep our mouths closed. We're not going to say anything. And I was very adamant about that. And I told them, just as soon as Nadine gets through talking, we're leaving. Nadine was the daughter of one of the victims, Ms. Ethel Lance, who was also killed that night. And she forgave Dylan. And by that time, I'm getting out of my seat, and I'm looking at my daughter and son saying, okay, let's go. And then God said the same thing. He said, get up. I have something to say. And all I can remember is walking to the podium. I was like, God, come on, because I don't have anything to say. And all of a sudden, just coming out of my mouth, it says, son, I forgive you. My family forgives you, but we would like you to take this opportunity to repent and confess and give your life to the one who matters the most, Christ, so that he can change it, change your ways. And no matter what happens to you, you will be okay. If you do that, you will be better off than you are right now. And all I can remember is immediately after saying that is that something came over me. My body started shaking. It was like things were leaving my body. And after a while, when it stopped, I was just as light as a feather. And a peace came over me like no other. I mean, it was so peaceful. And I have that peace right now today. that peace that surpasses all understanding of Christ Jesus, that's what I experience. It is real. God is real, and his peace is real. And I received it just from an act of forgiveness, not knowing that I was, not knowing what was going to happen. And right now, I still have that peace, and it enabled me and my children to move forward in our lives. I mean, I'm not thinking about Dylan. I'm not worried about Dylan. The only thing I do for Dylan right now is I pray for him twice a day, you know, that he would give his life to the Lord. He would confess and repent so that he can receive the peace that I receive. Because I know that's something my wife, she would love that. I mean, she's pretty much waiting in heaven, hoping that he does that. So she can, when he gets there, she can say, hey, glad you made it, you know. I mean, seriously, that's the kind of woman she was. But that's the kind of God we have, too. He's a God who redeems. When he redeems you, you receive peace, and that's what I receive. And I will not give it back.
That's awesome. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the voice of Reverend Anthony B. Thompson, and he is the pastor of Holy Trinity Reform Episcopal Church of Charleston, South Carolina. And he's written a book, and it's a book I highly recommend. It's available both at Amazon.com and ChristianBook.com, Called to Forgive, the Charleston Church Shooting, a Victim's Husband, and the Path to Healing and Peace. Reverend, let me ask you this question, because oftentimes when we have these tragedies, this is the unexpected bend in the road. That's the unexpected change in the life. How would you say you were, in terms of internally, with your walk with God, the Holy Spirit inside of you, did you have years of conviction of being a very generous, forgiving person, a moderate, forgiving person, or how the Lord spoke to you immediately? Because oftentimes when we have tragedies, God always has a plan amidst the tragedy, but sometimes, or most often, it develops over time, and you sort of work into the new God's calling. Yeah. Was this call to forgive, was this sort of instant, or were you always sort of a forgiving person?
Well, as you say, God had prepared me, you know, with me not even knowing I would be faced with a tragedy like this, because when I was 7 years old, God called me, and I heard his voice. 3 times he called me by name, Anthony. The third time he told me, this is God, you're going to be a preacher, and I immediately said, no, I'm not. And I heard that voice until I was 35 years old and I attended the seminary, so I'm very familiar with his voice. I heard that voice again when I used to work at South Carolina Department of Probation and Parole, state of South Carolina, as probation parole agent, because there was so much racial discrimination and just a lot of racism going on within the workplace. And I was a rebel with a cause during that time. I would let you know, you know, when there was a black and white situation going on, and I would be very forward, very verbal, and very vocal about it, and to the point where people couldn't stand it. And then one day, God just came across and said, hey, you need to change your attitude. You need to change your ways. And I'm like, no, they need to change their attitude and their ways, you know. And it was something, I just prayed about it. And I can remember walking to my office one day right there, and I just got through screaming and yelling at my boss about a white and black situation going on in the office. He sat down and had a talk with me, and I walked to my office, and I remember God saying, listen, I told you to change your ways and change your attitudes. And maybe a week or so after that, I did. And I forgave every last one of them. I mean, I forgave them like none other. And they didn't know how to take me. They was like, who is this guy, you know? Because I was completely the opposite from what I had been. So, yeah, he had been preparing me. You know, those are just a couple of examples of him dealing with me. But, yeah, he's been preparing me all the time. You know, of course, I had no knowledge of it, but it was always a part of me. It made it a part of me. And so,
let me hop in. We got about a minute and a half left, but, Pastor, Reverend, So I'm just kind of taken away because we see now, as God knows the future, he was preparing you back then. He was preparing you for this day. And because of that bond hearing, other similar situations saw racial unrest in the cities where it took place.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen in Charleston, where you grew up in. God was in you. God was in the whole thing. The city reacted quite differently because of your lead. Got about a minute. Talk about that.
Okay. Oh, yes. I mean, right away, you know, after I received that peace, God told me this is my new mission, the gospel of forgiveness. And the people, I mean, without thinking about it, just came together, united from all walks of life, every race and creed, united, helped in every and any way they could to console each other, to be there for each other. The Confederate flag came down when nobody was talking about the flag. You know, mm-hmm. President Obama came here to Reverend Clemente's Pinckney's funeral, first time he ever talked about racism, you know. Mm-hmm. And right now we have forums talking about racial reconciliation. The mayor mm-hmm. of Charleston, Mayor Tecklenburg, has formed an advisory council of pastors, and the focus is racial reconciliation, forgiveness, and repentance. Matter of fact, he just hired somebody in his office the other day to head a program just like that. So this forgiveness brought about a lot of changes in Charleston. It changed a lot of hearts, and it changed a lot of attitudes. And so now we're talking about something we used to hide all before.
Well, let me just say this. There are so many of you listening who struggle with forgiveness. And it might not be over the assassination of your spouse or your children or a loved one. But when we walk around with unrepented unforgiveness, it is us who are captives. I want to highly, highly recommend the book Call to Forgive by Reverend Anthony B. Thompson. Get your copy of it, because he will walk you through how God will use you even before a situation in forgiveness. And, of course, this is about the Charleston church shooting in 2015. It's about a victim's husband and the path of healing to peace. You can get it at Amazon.com as well as ChristianBook.com. Pastor, I got about 10 seconds, but thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for your leadership on forgiveness.
Thank you, Sue, for having me on your show, Mr. Bill. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. That'll wrap it up for today. Parental Guidance by Dr. Ken Whitten. That's up next.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.